Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I can quickly forget just the power of what we just celebrated recently at Easter. We celebrate that after Jesus took the cross, 3 days later, the tomb was empty, and because Jesus was alive, hope was alive. But now we're, you know, over a couple weeks past that, and all of a sudden, we kind of go back to this, the grind of everyday life, and we kind of forget about the miracle that happened. And I just kind of want to reflect and take a look back at just, I think, four things that we can really, really learn, and we need to be reminded of, I think, frequently, of what we can learn from that morning when Jesus was resurrected. And I like the version I'm going to share from today in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. If you got your Bible, you may want to turn there. But if you're driving or you're exercising, or you're getting ready for work or fixing breakfast, I've got it here for you. So it says in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen." Say that out loud with me. Let's read that together. He has risen. One more time. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Oh, friends, it's such a powerful, powerful part of Scripture as we sit there and we reflect on the greatest miracle ever, Jesus conquering death. And yet, I think if we're honest, sometimes we can forget about what that great miracle was. And I want to share four takeaways from me that about the resurrection that maybe can help you today as we take a look at the greatest miracle ever. Number one, Jesus will provide when you go to him in faith. You say, "Well, Greg, what do you mean by that?" Well, if we go back looking at those first three verses, you know, they sit there and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome said, as they were going over to there, that just after sunrise, they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" I mean, this stone was super, super heavy. Probably took at least a minimum of four or five big, strong Roman soldiers to roll that over after Jesus had been buried. And yet these two precious women were going to go, and yet they had no idea how they were going to get the stone rolled away to anoint Jesus' body with the spices they had brought. And yet they went in faith. But I love how the Bible's a book of details. It says they were talking to each other, and they said, "Who's going to roll this stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" And yet they went anyway. And friends, it's not like they had a car where they could drive to where they were getting. I mean, they had to walk to get there. And so, and yet they went in faith. And I got to ask you today, what is it that you know God's calling you to do, just like God asked these two ladies to do that, that you've got to step out and have a little faith? Have a little faith. And yet the enemy loves to keep us with the old paralysis by analysis, where we don't move out in faith. We get in a little fear or doubt, or because there's something that could be overwhelming, like this huge, humongous stone. But these ladies showed up and they experienced the moment of their lives when the tomb was empty. And they were the first ones to know that Jesus had conquered death and that he was resurrected. And so I think it's a huge takeaway from the resurrection story that Jesus will provide when you go to him in faith. And so I don't know what that is for you today, but I know there's something that kind of immediately came to mind when I asked that question. What is it you need to do, just like the two Marys did, to step out in faith and to do something and accomplish something that God has put a desire in your heart to do today? A second takeaway I think we can take from verse 6 is today we need to remember that Jesus has risen. I chuckle, friends, because I've been guilty in my life of limiting God, putting him in a box, and, you know, being tempted to sing that good old hee-haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And we do that, friends. We start singing that and have that stinking thinking, okay? Excuse my English there, but that's what it is. That stinking thinking, because we limit what God can do and we forget that Jesus has risen from the grave. If the tomb was empty and Jesus was alive, which means hope is alive, then we need to be reminded that no matter what our circumstances are, that there's hope and that Jesus wants to help us. And we need to maybe just say each day, he is risen. Jesus has risen, to remind us that God is on the throne. Jesus is right next to him, going as our advocate on our behalf to God, saying, hey, this is my son, or this is my daughter, and I love them. They are mine, and we need to help them intervene in whatever situation they're dealing with today. And so, friends, be reminded of that, that the tomb was empty and that Jesus has risen. I think we just forget that too quickly. And that's why I know it's not been that long after Easter, but hey, the way I'm wired up, you are, after, we just go on to the next thing. And I just think we forget just how powerful that was. And we can apply it in our everyday lives. And, you know, Jesus warned us in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But I'm so thankful in the very next breath, Jesus said, but I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. In other words, whatever it is that the enemy's using to just try to steal your hopes and dreams, to kill your ambition, to try to destroy you, which we've talked about this before, but I feel like I need to say it again today, that you may be tempted to even check out of life. You may even be contemplating thoughts of suicide. And friends, that's what destroy is. And I'm begging you from the bottom of my heart, friends, to not do that. Please reach out to someone, just anybody. But if you're like, I don't have anybody that I trust, anybody that I know, I'm lonely, then now, just like 911, there is another number that's been created called 988. 988, just like the 911 you dial for emergencies. If you're having a mental health crisis where you are thinking about suicide or your anxiety is just overwhelming you, you're experiencing anxiousness, you're thinking about suicide, you're hopeless, please take advantage of this 988. It's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and reach out. Maybe you're like, well, I don't need that right now, but you know what? Maybe there's some day in the future you might, or for somebody else. So put that 988 in your phone. It's a mental health crisis line that our country has put in, just like we have 911 for other emergencies in our life. But this is specifically for mental health emergencies. And I'm so thankful that's there. But please reach out to someone, because what happens, friends, when we shine what's being in the darkness and put the light on it, it takes away the power that the enemy has over us and that hopelessness. All of a sudden, when we bear one of our burdens, the Bible says we're supposed to bear our burdens with one another. I know when I've been there before, and I've had seasons of hopelessness when I've shared with somebody that, you know what, man, I'm just, when I was many years ago hanging by a thread and just had to share that with a close friend. And they just asked me, number one, do you have a plan to hurt yourself? And I didn't, but I just had the thoughts. And then they just simply said, two, do you promise me if you're going to do that, that you will contact me first? Do you promise me? And I said, yes. And I can remember when that happened many, many years ago, that was a game saver just by sharing with one person that, you know what, man, I'm just a little hopeless right now and just really don't want to live. And it took away the power that had over me. And friends, that's why we talked about Jesus' team, the greatest team ever put together, 12 disciples, and not the greatest, like when we think about the dream team with basketball players and things, but he took 12 misfits like you and I. But my bigger takeaway is not just that the various backgrounds and just the very normalcy of those 12 guys, but more importantly, that Jesus didn't want to save the world by himself. God in his perfect plan said, no, I want 12 others to be with you. And Jesus had Peter, James, and John were kind of his close three guys, you know, his crew, as the young people like to say today. So please remember that today, that we weren't meant to do life alone. If you're feeling alone, please reach out to somebody else. Or if you don't have anybody else, please use 9888 or contact us here at Hope Is Here. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today.org. That's hopeishere.today.org, and reach out to us. A third takeaway that we can have from the resurrection story in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, if we look at verse 6, that powerful reminder I love when the angel said to the two Marys, he said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? And then verse 7 says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. I love that he didn't just say, go tell his disciples and stop there. He said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Because friends, he knew that Peter would not feel like he would be included anymore after denying Jesus three different times. As Jesus had predicted at the Last Supper, and yet Peter vehemently denied that he would ever do that. And yet he did, just as Jesus said he would. And yet Jesus was saying, hey, I forgive Peter. I still love him. So we need to remember that we fail today, that we are still welcome back to Jesus with open arms and to continue that relationship and to renew it. And that Jesus is waiting there for you, just like he was Peter. And I love that the angel specified, tell the disciples and Peter. And last but not least, my fourth takeaway from this passage about the resurrection in Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. I love that in verse 8, it says that, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And friends, they were afraid, one, because that's amazing, somebody had conquered death. But two, they also knew that, unfortunately, women were not treated well and with respect and treated like second-class citizens a lot, that they're like, nobody's going to believe us. But I love that God, his infinite plan, said, no, I want people to know, the world to know, that women are to be honored. And it's no accident that two women were the first to know that Jesus was alive and had conquered death. We're out of time, but if you've been blessed by this program, hope to share it with somebody else about four takeaways from the resurrection. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.